Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/SWOCBC for ad-free episodes, reading guides, movie and TV episode audio watch-alongs, and more. And if you'd like to watch the holiday special along with us, it's live now for Legacy of the Force subscribers on patreon.com. Today's Old Canon Fact of the Day comes from A Guide to the Star Wars Universe by Raymond Velasco, first published in 1984. The Wookiee Honor Family is a special bond of friendship between a Wookiee and any other being. The Wookiee family is prepared to die in mortal combat in order to protect the special friends. Other families will look after a Wookiee Honor Family if necessary, while one or more members are away fulfilling their debt. Today's selection is the Star Wars Holiday Special, a special television event by Steve Binder, first broadcast on November 17th, 1978. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you, always.
Guys, welcome back to another sterling silver, beautiful, crystal clear, illuminating episode of the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club. I'm Alex. We're here. We're back. Davis is sitting there. Smiling, Jesse's sitting over there, manning the tickling the ivories. What are you doing over there? Yeah,
I'm playing with the broken paperclip.
That's fun.
You gonna like break into a lock or maybe open up an Xbox disc tray that's not working?
I will be slicing something later. Yes,
there we go. Yeah. Perfect. We're here. We're here today to talk about the Star Wars Holiday Special,
dude. This is another. I mean, I've like literally loved everything that we've done so far, but this is like an episode where it's like Spoon of the Mind's Eye, another one where it's like, oh boy, I can't wait to get to this thing, and it delivered.
I don't know if everyone has listened or watched the watch along over on Patreon yet.
Yeah,
but you can definitely tell. For the first, this special is an hour and a half, which is far
it's
too
super long.
It was twice as long.
It was on
as
all
I,
night.
Like I thought. I don't know why. Like I thought, because aren't holiday specials like an hour or less?
Yeah,
yeah. It's wild to me because it came out on November 17th, which is like not Thanksgiving.
It's Life Day, dude.
Yeah, come
I know,
on.
But it's
come
like
on.
It's not like what I mean is it wasn't like families all this over guy. America had a reason to be together
Kashyyyk.
To like
Star Wars
sit and watch. This it wasn't like the Super Bowl where we're having a party anyway. It wasn't like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day things where it's like on all morning because we're like, you know, making food and hanging out together to watch it. So it came out on November 17th and it's 90 minutes long.
And here's the thing. Go back, listen, watch along, whatever. You can tell there is a point where we are eating it up. Loving it. And then a switch flips and we're just like, this cannot end soon enough.
I definitely ran out of steam.
I think like after Jefferson Starship.
I think before, like I realized.
That part was like unequivocally sick. That actually is a cool section.
After Grandpa's sex machine. That kind of went.
No, wait, what's the Grandpa?
Itchy? I don't remember.
Scratchy?
Yeah,
I think Lumpy's the kid and Itchy's the old man.
Lumpy's definitely the kid.
Before we get into this, really quickly.
Those names are like, well, you know, we'll talk about that.
There was, as YouTubers, I think we can kind of empathize with this. This is, this thing, I don't even know what to call it. This special is the exact moment where corporate interests started to get involved in Star Wars. Like when a YouTuber does something, and this is a lot more like early teens, 2015, 2014 days, where like somebody would start getting views for some reason and nobody knows why exactly they're getting views, but they know that they want to be involved with this guy who's getting the views, and they know that they want to like milk that guy who's getting the views for all they're worth. So they just grab him and put him as the host of a million things, and they put him up on, you know, the Disney Channel, or they put them wherever, and they're just there and it's awkward and nobody knows what's going on. And it's clear that the actual creative team involved wasn't involved. You know, that's what the Star Wars holiday special is.
You mean Ninja New Year's Eve celebration?
Yeah.
Where he's like, okay, everyone dance.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what that is. And so basically, Lucas was moving his production company because it's in the wake of Star Wars, right? So what it did for him was it kind of took him off the project, sort of. He was in this sort of honeymoon phase where everybody wanted things from him, George Lucas.
Sure.
Like, he could basically pitch whatever he wanted. He had his, like,
he had just done,
he just made the God tier movie.
Well, he made American Graffiti, which was like
pretty good too. Yeah.
But it was like, he's like
a financial success.
Yeah. First it was like surprise hit, then like mega hit.
The biggest thing that had ever, like, let's not undersell this.
He's like the golden boy.
Yeah. This is like the greatest movie that's ever been made at this time. Like, this is like, people saw this and were like, oh my God, you changed the world, right? Like, everybody's watching Star Wars. There's everybody watched it 15 times. Did you watch the episode of That 70s Show yet?
No, fuck.
Yeah, you got
a good one.
Yeah, you got to check that one out. It's very realistic. So Lucas is out, but he has his little, so this is the point where they're like, anything else, Star Wars? You got anything else? You got anything else you want to have? And so he's like,
well, I have my like other Star Wars movie ideas that I want to do, like, for, you know, like doing the sequel movies that I want to make. But I also have this idea.
This version of George Lucas is much better than.
Yeah, I'm doing the George Lucas in love version. But he's like, there's a movie I wanted to make that's just all about Wookiees. I just want to make a movie about Wookiees. And they were like, all about Wookiees, eh? And he was like, yeah, whatever.
Wait, is this real?
Yeah. And he was like, all about Wookiees. And he was like, yeah, okay, I got to go move my studio. I'll see you guys later. And so he's like out. And
wait a minute. Wait, he really was just like, I want to make a movie all about Wookiees?
Yeah. And so he was.
Wait, why are we just skimming over this insane idea?
Dude, I don't know. I don't even know what he was thinking. I can't imagine. Dude,
with how many different like revisions of Star Wars, I bet you he, like, you remember how, like, if you look at the original shit or like they have the comics of his original idea, it's like, it all, like, spaceships and like somebody called like Skywalker. Like, was like it. I believe that he probably had like an all Rodian movie, a fucking like,
I don't,
Fingering look, Dan and the Jizzmongers. Like,
there's
like,
no way that guy's name is Fingering Dan.
Fingering Dan
should be now.
Look, basically, he had to go. It was he had uncredited, like, this is like not, he's like not in the credits, but basically, they brought in CBS. People to like make this after he was like
1970 CBS people, yeah, that cocaine, like, but you mean cocaine addicts.
I think they were expecting Sammy Davis Jr. or Dean Martin, you know, like somebody like that to do a special around, and that's exactly what this is. Like, if you've ever watched the Danny Kaye Christmas special from the 50s, it follows the exact same structure as like one of those like chestnuts roasting.
It's just weird because yeah. It's like not black and white. Like, it's later than you're used to, and it's not, it's like they're doing that, but they're doing it in a fake world, not like on a, you don't like, oh look, they're in like an American studio,
right,
with,
right,
whatever.
But it also, they took songs and then they were like, Live Day, it's called Live Day. Well, and you're like, this sucks.
So check this out. Lucas's vision is Wookiees only, no subs. He's like, not going to budge on that. That's his thing. Lucas brings that to the table.
And which I believe we don't, like.
It was fun. I was feeling it.
Until I realized it was going nowhere, until I realized that it was not going to be anything, then that's when I lost interest. When it was just like, oh, his toy's broken, and now a song's coming out of his toy, and then we're going to get to the next thing.
Like, I had watched this in college, like, and I hated it. So I knew it wasn't going to be good. That's why I've been like, excited just from the like archaeological like whatever, and I enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure we were like into the fact that they were like, you did it, you like didn't do any subs, like clearly that Andor episode where it's just all the kids not speak, like, they clearly, that's a throwback to this, obviously,
clearly. Obviously, yeah,
but just like, it's genuine, like, it's not like, I mean, a lot of this is like bullshit, but like that part is like, they went for, like, they did
100%.
So it's just, if he had done it, it probably,
well, it was entertaining.
It was fraught with issues. So first thing,
you don't say.
They bring in this guy, Akomba, David Akomba, who's like Lucas's like USC buddy. And he comes in and he's going to try and be like George Lucas light. Like, he's going to try and like bring this.
Think of me as George Lucas.
Like, yeah, like try to bring the spirit of George, but he runs into like CBS team and multi-camera television setup, and he doesn't really know what he's doing. He feels like he's brought in, and then there's like this corporate team that he doesn't really.
Did he work on Star Wars?
No, but he worked on this, and then he left after shooting basically just Jefferson Starship in the cantina. And
wait, he shot the cantina bit?
Yeah. And so
crazy.
But then
Jefferson Starship, cool. That was great.
That was awesome.
The cantina was kind of cool too.
It just came way too late. And it was like a low.
It was like a weird B.R. Arthur cantina. It was a
long song where she's saying goodbye to everyone. It's just a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like expensive, right? But so then he jumps off the project and they bring in Steve Binder. Now, Steve Binder is like a legend, just so you know. I don't think he talks a lot about directing the Star Wars holiday special. I don't know. But he also directed the 68 comeback special for Elvis Presley, which is like one of the most important television specials that's ever, like, that's one that I think is like on Criterion, how good it is. He also directed Diana Ross Live in Central Park. He's not like a fucking loser. They brought
their best guy in, right?
And so he's in, and all that Lucasfilm gave him was a Wookiee Bible that was like, here's what the deal is with Wookiees. Here's how Wookiees act and behave. You can't change this. You can't add subtitles. So do your best. And then they actually brought in Stan Winston to do the fucking Wookiees.
Why? Really? Who did the? Did he do Chewbacca in the first one?
Yeah, Stan Winston did it all.
It's just weird because like Chewbacca looks a lot higher budget than every other Wookiee in that movie. Like they don't look like they're.
I have to believe this was TV budget restrictions or time
for what?
Perhaps
for what?
Because a lot of the Wookiees, and I think what Davis is saying,
they look good.
Draped on rather than fur.
Well, okay, so Mila. The lady Wookiee,
his wife is
actually an old Chewbacca mask that was like fucked with.
Don't tell me this. That like destroys everything.
R2-D2 does not have a human inside in this. It's just a remote controlled robot. No Kenny Baker inside. And weirdly, James Earl Jones is credited in this, but was not credited in Star Wars. So this is the first credit as Darth Vader that James Earl Jones actually has.
Crazy.
And one last thing from the Wikipedia here that I thought was interesting is the names of his family are actually, his wife is Mala. His father, grandfather is Itchy, and his son is Lumpy, but that's actually Mala Tobuk.
Yep.
Atichitcuk.
And Lumpy is like Lumpa Waka Waka.
Add a chit cuck.
That sounds like several racially and other insensitive terms.
Yeah, just I don't like it.
Either Lumpa Waru or Lumpa Warump.
Yeah, and we got that retcon from the new canon stuff.
That helps. I was like, I hated that it was like Lumpy and Itchy. Those are like a human name. For them, like Chewbacca and Chewie, he's not like, oh, he chews a lot, so it's Chewie.
Well, actually, it might make sense because when you say it's a human name, because the Wookiees only speak in Wookiees or whatever. Thank you. The only person who talks is Art Carney, who's the vendor, and he's like, Itchy, Lumpy, my boy, and he's a human.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like his thing.
How he talks to them.
You think he does the like foreigner?
Dude,
he definitely talks down to a foreigner.
There is like kind of everybody. Like Princess Leia, when she talks to Mala, is like, it's not cool. She's almost like, okay.
That's the one take Princess Leia, though.
You're right. But except that Harrison Ford delivers it. An Oscar, like, top tier.
I don't know about Oscar. I don't think he has.
Sorry. He comes and
comparatively to everyone else.
He acts like he was on set of a movie. Like he didn't talk like Luke, Mark Hamill, Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher. They all like pretty special act. They're on a special, whatever,
like TV.
His reads are great Han Solo reads, even if the lines are fucking stupid.
But you also have to imagine he couldn't half-ass it if in that universe he's being chased by Imperials and being shot. If he was like, Chewie, we gotta watch out for these Imperials. Like that would suck. He had to bring his A game because the story was about the two of them. So if he hadn't, the whole thing would have fallen flat.
Okay, but regardless of whether he had or didn't, he did. I'm just saying.
Oh, agreed.
He showed up, and I was like wild. Then I'm like, you didn't especially with like how he half-asses like half the movies of the last 20 years. I think
he's just tired,
like,
man.
I'm just gonna like go hard on this. You're like, okay.
I think he's just genuinely exhausted.
But go for it.
Callista needs somebody.
She needs me. Anyway, this aired 1 week before Thanksgiving, before Wonder Woman and the Hulk.
If you watch the YouTube version, it's like,
yeah,
Wonder Woman will not be seen tonight.
Yeah, it's like it actually took 2 hours to air because it had commercials, if you think about it. So like, God, like it's like longer than like,
I bet a lot of people were like, thank God the commercials.
Yes. Like, oh, thanks. I can think about beer for a second. So it's become obviously like very, very notorious, even though it got like bad reviews immediately. It's never been rebroadcast. The only place that I've ever been able to buy it is at comic shops bootleg or online bootleg.
I didn't know this. I knew that it was hard to find. I didn't know that it had only aired that one time. Yeah. So it was people that recorded it or.
Yeah. So it's really hard to get. Like I say, there is an extremely good quality version of it on YouTube that we watched. That's, I think, what everybody should go watch if they're going to try and watch this with us, though. Honestly, like, maybe watch it with us.
Maybe
just go on Patreon so at least you're not alone.
If, you know, you're at that tier and you have the watch-alongs, then it might be worth it for, like, the bit. Like, it's like you were there with us, but unless you really, like, want to, maybe it's not fun to go. Like, us having each other to watch it.
I would have never watched this by myself. I would have turned it off before.
I would not have had fun with it. I probably would have, like, okay, all right.
I don't know. I was in for Diane Carroll.
I was in. I was in with you guys.
I was in, and then I realized that there was nothing more, and then I was out.
But we were also able to like talk about it in the moment and bounce off each other. If I had to just sit there with like my thoughts, who knows where I would have gone.
Yeah, so it's never been shown anywhere officially ever again. I would love to give the Borgullet back this. But there is one segment.
Can you rewind it?
In 2021, one segment was released on Disney+, which we'll get into in a minute.
Wait, what?
There is one segment. Starship? No, it's obvious which segment it is if you think about it. But
Arthur?
Oh!
No, but
it's the animated one.
It's too important to the lore. It's too important to the lore of Star Wars.
Which was tight. That part is like...
Yeah, we'll get there.
That was cool.
Yeah, we'll get there. So, I don't know. Should we, like, how granular should we get with this? I can walk us through the whole goddamn
thing.
Take us on an adventure.
Okay, bang. Here we are. We're opening up. It's the Star Wars Holiday Special. And then we're in the Falcon, and it's Chewie and Han, and they're running from Star Destroyers.
I'm going to get you home for life day, Chewie.
Just like real honest, genuine reads from Harrison Ford, completely taking it seriously.
He says, that's the spirit. You'll be celebrating life day before you know it.
Is that a quote?
Yeah. And you know, I know that I don't sound exactly like Han Solo today, but I was screaming at the
rent today.
There. Yeah. So, you know, forgive my little bit less accurate Han Solo.
Right. A little bit less.
Fine. He showed up, but I guess you couldn't.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. My feelings. Ow.
Ow.
Ouch. Ow, Chewie. Oh boy. These hurt more and more every life day. Anyway, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we get the intro to like everyone, including Chewie's family, his wife, his son, and I guess it is his father. Like I said, Mala, Itchy, and Lumpy. They look nightmarish.
Why did I think that it was like his father-in-law?
I don't know, but they...
You know what? I thought the same too.
It could be. I don't know.
Like home with...
It's probably because it's up to you to decide because there's literally
Well, I mean, I speak Chewbacca.
There's no... I don't think they do, bro.
Maybe
I called it Wookiee, so I don't. Yeah,
well, that's because you're racist.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it literally... Got me. It's literally just like up to interpretation exactly what's being said because they really don't explain. Mala sends Lumpy to take the trash out in Sriwook, but Lumpy doesn't want to do it. And instead, he tightrope walks like... I don't know. Like he goes outside and there's like a matte painting and of like Kashyyyk. Kashyyyk. And he just walks and it's like the highest drop that you've ever seen.
Kashyyyk sounds like an app.
I don't even know if you get to
Kashyyyk does sound like a fucking
I don't even
app.
Know Kashyyyk. If you get there again before Heir to the Empire. Like, I don't know.
It's definitely not in any major production.
I'm just
thing.
Trying to think of where it would be, and I just can't think of it. But
is
maybe
it named in the holiday special?
I don't think anything is because it's all in, maybe they said it, but it was in Wookiee.
I bet Zahn was like, I'm going to take that holiday special and make it a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that Makes sense.
Like, the vibe is not that bad. Like, if you like the Lars Homestead and you like the Erso Homestead from Rogue One, and you're in that like 70s Star Wars like aesthetics.
I wish I could, like, make my place look more.
Yeah,
like
aesthetics. Yeah. It's kind of like if Star Wars had like the Brady Bunch, like it doesn't not look like Star Wars. It's just like a weird, like it has like a kitchenette.
You're right.
Weird.
It does have a Brady Bunch vibe.
Because yeah. Also because it's a fucking TV special, like a multicam. It's open concept because it's only half of a room and it's all open. And I think that also helps give it like that cool, like otherworldly vibe.
Yeah. So
a lot of wood, a lot of natural material in there too.
So we're just going through. No one is actually speaking. Mala and Itchy talk, and Mala's sad, and she picks up a framed picture of Chewbacca and looks at it. So you know that she's waiting because we know that Chewbacca wants to get home for Life Day from the first scene. So she's like, where is he?
Plus, Wookiees are not advanced. They don't have holograms there.
Yeah.
They have to import it via various machines given to them by Art Carney.
Yeah, exactly. Art Carney runs this whole place.
The fucking tech for them is like too convoluted.
Also, yeah, you're like Art Carney is the king of Kashyyyk.
He's like the main character of this special. He's like his weird character Sun Dan or whatever his name is.
Dude, he's like Harold Hill. He's like,
yeah.
He's like he probably went there to like swindle him and then fell in love with him and now like
he's literally like
them, but kind of also
he's
like,
literally like the same character as Luthen in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's actually like weird because he's actually like kind of a legit Star Wars character. Like
he's actually he deals with the Empire.
Yeah, he's like a rebel. He like does all the stuff right.
The weird thing is that he talks like if anybody because one of the things I didn't love about like the sequels is I felt like they didn't talk like they were in Star Wars. They like talked to whatever. Somebody could point to the way that he like he's like Poe to he's like him. It's like a young version of him.
So what you're saying is, if anything, the sequels are very accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very much how Amy Sedaris kind of like did 70s Star Wars as her bit for
or the whole like diner scene.
Actually, I didn't love that. I like her as an actress, but I don't love that. But that is like
she's doing
now. You can, I guess you always could have.
Yeah,
but like. There is a precedent. Just set that precedent she's definitely, for fucking yeah. Star Wars.
She's definitely like making it, she's is. Definitely making like a kind of informed choice based on the source material.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so forget that though. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Because next thing that fucking happens after that happens is that Lumpy comes in from off. I don't know where he went on his like weird tightrope adventure, but he comes
kids
back.
Kids just like come and go.
I don't know. I used to do that but when
yeah,
I was
they
a kid.
Used to.
Dude, I did. Used to. I was just, a latchkey like, kid as long as sure. You're with like our siblings or somebody or a friend.
Be back by 5:30.
Yeah.
You're good.
My parents did not care. They're like, be alive.
Like, or if you don't, it's cheaper. Whatever.
But so
Ohio.
Itchy has a cassette tape. Itchy has a cassette tape on him and he puts it into like the table, which is like similar to the chess table from the Falcon. And like a dancer comes out of the tape.
Several ridiculous dancers.
And then she's like, come on. And like more dancers come. And it's kind of like,
it's like a Dr. Seuss special. Like
it looks like
Cirque du Soleil.
It looks like the Muppet Show. Like when the Muppet Show tries to do like, this is such a specific thing, but when the Muppet Show tries to do like a not funny bit, when they would like try and do the Muppets as like a cool looking or pretty thing. That's sure. what this was. It just is so discordant tonally to have like sexy Disney electrical parade vibes going on.
Here's the thing though. It becomes par for the course for this special.
Hell yeah, it does.
But it is like, I mean, the look of it so far is like blending Star Wars with like a sitcom room. So that's a little bit whatever. But this effect was where you're like, okay, this is not Star Wars. Like
what the fuck? Is this going to be about? I was like thinking about like, is this going to be about this? Like, is this like weird VR sex machine going to be like what the rest of this is about?
Turns out. It's not about VR.
It's not about anything.
Yeah.
Lumpy presses a button. The dancer like beep. She like gets big and is like now human sized, and she's like able to like come out like the ring, like come out
it's
of like
mode
like,
7 for like
yeah. She like comes out of the TV kind of, and she's like she's blowing his. I'm gonna just say it. She's like blowing his mind. He is like literally, you know that GIF. That's like
that smile,
that fucking gif of that fucked up Wookiee that is like everywhere that like
yes. That is
that's this that's him this, just right. baring his teeth in like a sexually aroused
we use primate that in way. Our like Star Wars like
just chat, normal
text chat
yeah.
all the time as a response.
That's what it, that's what it sounds like.
It's like Lumpy's first erection.
But but it is bizarre in that it has this sort of, like you were saying, Cirque du Soleil vibe that does not belong anywhere at all in Star Wars. Not because
it feels Earth-like.
In episode 3, when he goes to the opera,
that's
the only thing I can think of.
They do have like wild arts and theater and stuff, but this color wise is like pick the most neon shit you can find and furry boas and just have these people dance like they're on drugs.
Yeah, it's like wrong. It literally is like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit.
You're like, no, it's just not it.
But it was a stumbling block because from that point on, I was feeling it.
You're right.
You were on board.
No, that part sucked. But they got me immediately.
We were on and off board.
Yeah.
But we were on board sometimes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Was this the Jefferson Starship? No, this was Diane Carroll first.
I don't remember if Diane Carroll or Jefferson Starship was first. I know that Jefferson Starship was like when the Empire shows up. Yeah.
Because I thought that's like when it felt like if they'd wrapped it up around there, I kind of could have been like, people are overly harsh, but there was a lot more.
It's just so excruciatingly long. He pushes a button, the dancer like goes away, they like disappear. Mala's like,
bring her back.
Mala's like, do the dishes, and she goes to like, she opens up like her like weird like 1940s like anti-Nazi spy cabinet that she has in her living room, and she runs like a scan. She doesn't see any starships. She's like really like, she's like, rawr! She like gets like angry Wookiee scared.
Yeah,
I mean angry Wookiee. I got scared. And she goes to the TV again, and she like, I guess is like got the fucking hookup because she's got Luke Skywalker's number. So we
get family, bro. They're family.
This weird like Mark Hamill was like on break from shooting something, and he went into a room and got like generic shiny boy makeup on.
But it's also
talking about, this is like if you've seen or been to Disneyland. When they do like ride videos where you like, they got the actor for like 30 minutes.
Star Tours, what are you doing here?
It's like, he's just like saying everything out loud so you know what's happening. And then it like, oh, I'll talk to you guys later at the end of the ride. And like, it's gone.
But it's
like
also thing. Play for comedy kind of, where he's like, R2 and like smoke shooting in his face.
Yeah, they have like a little like weird like. Anyway, these are the people who died at the Academy Awards. Like, it has like this weird vibe to it. Basically, she shows him the picture of Chewie through the camera, and it's like, and he's like, oh, come on, Mal. It's okay. They left on schedule. And you know what? They probably ran into something, but smile, guys. Come on, turn that shit upside down.
R2.
Yeah. It's like everybody's so condescending.
Yeah. And they're like, my husband's not home for Christmas. And basically, they now they go to the trading post, Wookiee Planet C, Imperial That's Guard. Right.
Wookiee Planet C. Scene.
Yeah. And Mala.
I would get that the Empire is like, fucking, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to call them by their names.
Yeah.
It's Wookiee Planet C.
So
this
is also, when.
Wait, C?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about it.
But this is when we meet Art Carney, who's the trader.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mala. I got some cool stuff. Hold on. Let me deal with these Imperials.
It basically changes to his shop. And then she immediately, the character from the last scene, then immediately calls into this scene via phone.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. But she's asking for a shag carpet, which is like hilarious to me. Because I don't know why a Wookiee would want a shag carpet. It's like having a corpse on the ground.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I look like human skin.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else that scene has him being like, you're going to want to get one of these doodle hoppers. Because all the Imperials need a doodle hopper. And he's like trying to sell stuff to the Imperial agent.
The guy shakes him down for it. And he's like, take it. It's yours.
Yeah.
And he's literally like being a rebel. He's being like a fucking little OSS guy. And then we get to Vader. And
Vader has one scene I forgot.
Isn't this just footage from
Star it's them Wars, walking
and they
dumped.
Like changed the voice of it.
It's still James Earl Jones saying new things.
But it's just Star Wars footage.
It just literally has the same energy that we like of the Power Rangers, where you're like, the production quality of this it's not the same fucking cameras.
He's like, I know they're somewhere. I need you to search every house to get the rebels. We're like lowering the microscope like so small. But that's the thing. It's like
check every treehouse in Wookiee Planet C.
That's the thing that's so hard to understand about this, because as much as this would be like fandom rage inducing today. If this, something came out like this with this level of like,
the internet would lose its
reverence
mind
for the canon, like so fast and loose. It would be insane. But it just in 1978, there was just no, like, I'm sure that it was like a cynical vibe then. They weren't probably thinking this is going to go for 50 years. Like, I'm sure that they were just like, let's squeeze this for all it's worth.
Yeah. People didn't like it because it didn't adhere to canon.
It didn't. It wasn't tight.
Or mess like with Star the story.
It just, they like, didn't like sucked.
It because it sucked.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it wasn't good.
This is not Star Wars, guys. Yeah.
Exactly. So now we're back on Kashyyyk, and Lumpy's done with the dishes, and Mala watches like cooking YouTube on the like spy screen on her TV. They're making bantha loins.
Just an insane, yes, like Julia Childs.
I think that's Harvey Korman is all of the bonus characters.
Yeah.
So I think he's the like fake Julia. Yeah.
I think you're right.
It's wild.
He has
like
such
him,
a weird voice.
He, like, was he just a contract? We're like, we got him.
It's just,
he'll do like seven things.
Yeah.
He
was that guy. Actually, what it was.
Yeah. He was that guy that was kind of like that in the 70s.
They'd, and so they'd bring in like an ensemble to be all these things because in a unthemed,
like Will Arnett.
In an kind of, unthemed,
yeah, like, oh yeah, he'll do like a Call of Duty
the artifice
thing.
The artifice is so much less in like a normal TV special. It's very much like a variety show. The sketch is just there to facilitate the song.
It's like so long form improv or something.
Like him being there and being different characters, it's not that weird because you're like, oh, it's just like SNL or something. That's the vibe. Right.
I guarantee his entire script for this was probably one page, and it was like, you're making this feast or this meal, but the goof is over the course of the video
you get more arms.
More arms are going to appear, and that's like the,
it's aliens and it's then, Star Wars, they love it, it's crazy, it's,
yeah, and then just
nuts.
Like, you know, like make it up as you go. I guarantee that was the,
like,
thought
most of it is him just like laugh, like,
yeah,
being it's literally is like they literally must have just been like, just go, we got like, absolutely, five arms, just go. And we'll kind of like try and make it work.
Because that's the only part of that I think we can say safely that was, okay, that's kind of humorous, is more arms kept appearing. But what he was doing wasn't funny. He was just like trying to explain how to make food.
There's no working knowledge that the audience has of Star Wars for them to exploit other than the plot of the movie.
Right.
There's no like culture around Star Wars. They're just like alien themed vaudeville act. That's like not really a full joke. And like, we'll bridge the gap with kids being excited. When are we airing this? The week before Thanksgiving? Got it. You know, like, it's so weird. Anyway, then we're back on the Falcon. The TIE fighters are attacking. They came out of hyperspace into an Imperial convoy. So now the shit's really hitting the fan. I feel like we should have had this scene before everything else happened, but whatever. They probably only had like three scenes with Harrison Ford. They got to space him out because he's the main character.
Space him out.
I liked it. Yeah, I heard it.
Surely everything that I do is themed after space, if you think about it. You know, I like to do things alone, Chewie. That's why they call me Han Solo.
Anyway. They're back. Now we're back at the house. Mal is sad. Itchy's taking a nap now because he's old and he's close to death. Even though I guess Wookiees live like 900 years, right?
Yes, they're very old.
Fucking like Yoda aged.
Did they talk about that in this?
Or I don't know.
Later? No,
I don't
that's
think
later.
So. I don't know when. We'll find out. We'll find out when that little bit of lore comes into You're all right. this. So then there's a broadcast and they run really fast over. Like they like forgot that they were supposed to be like an old man and a wife. They just like run over like two actors. No ships can land or take off anymore on Kashyyyk. And then Art Carney shows up, Sondan. And now he's like, hey, I'm here with Life Day gifts for you guys. That's the pretense. And then he's like, hey, old man, how you doing?
Do you want to have the best scene in this entire show?
Fumble your fucking mind, dude. And he puts him in the VR thing again. It's a barber chair looking fucking thing. And this one is with the swimming and
Diane Carroll.
Yeah, Diane
Carroll sings a beautiful song.
It's like I get it. I also would just be like I think we got like a little chasmadaz by it. Like
if we were,
it's like a Bond intro esque.
Absolutely, the beginning of it. Literally, she's like,
it's like him.
I want you.
It's
yeah.
The implication is like he's getting sexually aroused.
He's getting horned out for
the
sure.
The family's like watching him, like. Get horned out.
We don't it's know their so, culture, dude.
You're right. Like
that could be their thing. They're like bonobos, you know? Bonobos have missionary sex and they solve all their problems through sex. Okay. That's on Earth.
So
open up your mind. They look like little chimps with comb overs.
It's
look
great. Like, I mean, it feels like a lot of times for us, so sex just makes problems worse, but no, that's good.
They're
for
just
them.
Like, you know, that guy that's supposed to come in your dreams, this man, that's what a bonobo is.
All right.
Think about that face, that Wookiee face.
The like bad cast, not a well-made.
So it is seductive. It is weird. They're just all watching him do it. It's fucking crazy.
But like, it's actually entertaining though.
Yeah. If it was like the like.
It's entertaining, but like what if you were, what was like, was that normal? Like if you were a family watching this at home, well, and a kid's like, what's going on? I mean, are they just
the,
like.
That was for the parents,
I'll
100%.
Tell you when I'm older. It's like, at, it is it not that
at,
weird to people?
It came on at like 8 p.m., 8 to 10. So it is like, if that was on like, you know, Johnny Carson, Ed Sullivan type show, I would be like, oh, it's just like a kind of like out there kind of trippy musical performance. It wouldn't be that weird in context of like a television studio performance in 1978. It's just weird in the weird Brady Bunch house where the like family of Wookiees is waiting for Chewbacca to come home that the old Wookiee's like, ah, fuck this. I'm going to go jack off in the middle of the living room.
Like everyone like watches him.
Yeah. It's just fucking weird.
Actually, I would. Did the others watch or were they just in the room?
They're just around. Yeah.
Because I would like it even more if they just awkwardly didn't watch.
It's just like if I just like went into the corner and like started playing Super Hot by myself.
And yeah. And we just like.
It's like, yeah. Why? Oh, like, all right. Messed up.
He's anyway, I'm going
like
to go back to what I'm doing.
From, like, this. He goes up to his room and plays later. This toy.
Yeah, he basically does.
It's just like, it's just me and nothing else is going on with Grandpa.
So then they get another phone call. This time, instead of Luke and R2, it's Leia and C-3PO. And she is in that same weird spy shelf talking to them. And they do like a weird pantomime to figure out that like Leia now also knows, because she expected them to be there already.
Right.
And she's like, I think they probably ran into more trouble than they expected. And then she talks to Art Carney and she's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, I'm Son Dan. And
are Son Dan.
And he's like, don't worry.
Princess.
He says, don't worry, I'll take care of him. And then they go and they're like, all right, we're going to go eat some Wookiee cookies, which are I think, Wookiee cookies.
No, they're Wookiee cookies, bro.
Okay, well.
It's an Ookie.
Maybe it's just a coincidence that they.
The C was removed because it's Wookiee planet C.
Fair.
Oh, that's Imperial. That's Imperial.
It's just implied that this is C. Right. Is for,
yeah. C is for cookie,
and that's good enough for me.
Oh. Dude, that's like the level of Wookiee sounds.
Lumpy like, kind of looks like a flesh colored cookie the, monster.
Like, right? They didn't like do the high quality like audio mixing.
No, it's
like seven different animals.
I don't think Ben Burtt was in there. I don't think Ben Burtt was involved.
He's also moving his equipment.
He's probably right. Honestly, like probably. Then we cut back and they show up finally, Han and Chewie, but there's like more Imperial, so they have to like land.
Yeah, there's a whole like, it's going to take them a while.
Now they're at the planet, but they have to land. Like now they're on foot trying
Meanwhile, the Empire is like, let's go house to house.
Well, first. Yeah. So first they're like, oh my God, a ship. It's landing. Who could it be? And they go look. And then it's the Empire. And Son Dan does like a legit, like literally like Luthen. He's like, he busts out like the spy, like rigmarole. Like, you know, he does.
If by
like,
spy rigmarole, you mean Jefferson Starship? Well, he lures them away with Jefferson Starship.
He gives
Here's
like,
thing though. That's fucking tight.
It was good.
That's the best part.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like, hey guys, what's up? Nobody's here. We're just chilling and waiting. It's live day. Why don't you hang out? Watch Jefferson Starship. And some fucking TV executive was like, guys, listen to this. You know that movie that's been cooking up the charts? Star Wars. Okay, with all the spaceships. Let me tell you something. There's a band right now. They just changed their name from Jefferson Airplane to Jefferson Starship.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And so they're like, This is perfect timing. This is brand synergy. Let's get him on.
Is this really like the way they like?
I don't think that they like.
They don't think they did it for the.
I don't think
show,
it was like straight
but
up.
Yeah. I bet you though, knowing how it works, and knowing someone that is related to somebody that made this, they're like, that probably is not that far fetched of a how they got there.
And shout out to the outline that we have. Part 2, section 9, note 4 is just the sentence. The Imperial Guard really enjoys the song. Because he does.
Yeah.
And then
so did we.
Everyone did. That was great.
They used like Tron technology on like the instruments. It was sick. I like
when that dude's beating the drums. That looks so cool.
And Stash, like it was like a sick.
Yeah, I love that part.
So now Lumpy's like upstairs, and the stormtrooper like goes up to like
destroy all like, of his shit.
They're like, get this fucking kid out of here. So he goes upstairs and like puts on his headphones and starts to like watch YouTube on his iPad, basically.
But what he's watching is like
what we get is the fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
But what is that supposed to be in universe?
Like, I think it's his iPad. That is
No.
It's like his iPad from like three generations ago that his parents don't want anymore.
I'm saying, like, is the idea that like these famous like rebels people are making like stories about
them? Nobody thought about this.
Okay, so I didn't like.
Yeah,
this isn't.
They just hired an animator to make an animated Star Wars special,
and I guarantee Lucas was like, "There's this guy named Boba Fett."
Yeah, if you That's watch,
it. It's just like everything else here we're led to believe happened. So like that, he's watching not a thing that happened.
This I think is supposed to be like tales from the rebellion.
Yeah, and it's like, a Luke Skywalker story. So was it like because like the enemy at the gate? Like they used like a war hero to make like. Propaganda cartoons.
I guarantee you that no one thought that.
No one cared that much.
If that makes you feel better about the Star Wars Holiday Special, that's exactly what happened.
It doesn't make me feel. I'm just wondering. Like again, things happen for a reason.
I mean,
if the reason is just like
in a real,
we got like an animation team to do this. That could be fine. It's just everything else again is like diegetic. Like he watches the sexy thing. They watch Jefferson Starship. It's not like. Oh, something else happened.
Oh, no, he's watching this cartoon.
I'm just like, what is the cartoon supposed to be?
They just let, like, this is the point in the show.
Cocaine.
Because then you get that shit. When do we get the part with Max Headroom?
Like, right after
this. Where you're like, what is that supposed to be?
Like, right after this. And it's fucking weird. But basically, if you watch that, I think it's the ILM documentary. I can't remember. But basically, they had the design for Boba Fett, and they made this like sick white version of the outfit, and they like trotted it around at some like local Star Wars parade up in NorCal, and it was like crazy because it was like close to Lucasfilm, so they like ILM like rolled out like Vader and this crazy Boba Fett thing, which is like something that would just like never happen now because of the internet. But like,
well, and with like how Disney doesn't send even like scripts to people,
right?
Like, it's so lock and key. The idea they were like, "Yo, show what we're working on." Openly is like,
right?
Crazy.
So
it's awesome. Yeah. I like wish people do it more often.
So obviously we know that Boba Fett was like the big thing that they were all excited about at Lucasfilm. So I posit that probably what happened here is they were like, "This motherfucker is going to be huge. Let's get him involved somehow." Here's like a picture of Boba Fett. He's a bounty hunter. You figure out the rest. And then they just made this cartoon. And so
they weren't wrong at all. They just like, he doesn't do that much in.
He just shows up and betrays them.
In Empire, he just is like scary.
Right.
And I think does he even shoot at Luke? Or is that like.
In this?
No, it's just weird that like they knew he was going to be like sick, but he didn't even do that much.
They weren't sure even what the fuck he was going to be. He was supposed to be like the super stormtrooper at one point.
Oh, he was supposed to be. Actually, because the design is so different, is this like. They just knew because there's like a billion drafts of Empire. They're like, he's going to be in it. And
yeah,
he's going to be.
He
like,
looks sick.
He's like our new Vader in that he's a sick ass costume.
That's exactly what it was. And they were like, he's a toy because now the like toy deals are coming through and
right.
This thing's blowing up. So we're on we're at Star 3241 on Cruiser RS Revenge, and they're waiting for Han and Chewie to get back from a mission to get a secret talent, like a mystic talisman. And they get a transmission and it's Han and he's tied upside down. And Chewie is flying the Millennium Falcon still for some reason.
He flies.
But it's just weird because Han's tied up and Chewie's not. And then they all get on Luke, 3PO and R2 get on a Y-wing to like go find him because they're like, uh-oh, did he lose control of the Falcon? What's going on? And the Falcon shoots at them and he thinks that he's like, Chewie's a bit much better shot than this. Like, why are they firing? Like, what's going on? And Luke's like, hey, they're headed to this moon in the Panna system. Let's follow them. They go to the moon and the Falcon lands and gets swallowed by like the surface of the planet, which is like goop? Red goop.
Yeah. This is tight.
It's like a really imaginative planet. And I really want to say that the animation is like,
it's straight up wizards.
Yeah, I know it's it's just like Ralph Bakshi. Like yeah.
it looks
alt
like
alt animation.
It looks like, yeah, I guess like I don't know why I think of like British cartoon
like heavy metal
characters, but then it doesn't have that energy.
It's extremely lush and it's extremely like got that weird warm animation Saturday morning 70s mix.
Bakshi vibes is exactly what
it's exactly right. But it's like also like it has this energy that's like.
It's like dragons.
Like no, like if you today, ate, like,
it has like that.
If you ate like mushrooms in a movie, and then you had like a vision, right? And the vision was animated, like this,
like the Felix the Cat movies.
Yeah. Again, Ralph Bakshi just has like this trippy quality to it. That's
or
really
Lord
strange.
Of the Rings.
Yeah. Again, Ralph Bakshi.
It's like that meets Interstellar a little bit with that like planet. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
It's such a cool concept that I kind of like would love to, and probably some motherfucker somewhere. It's probably in a comic or some place, but like, that's a cool.
It's we basically get it in the very next thing that we're going to do. You know, or well, we're recording these out of order in a weird way, but in Splinter of the Mind's Eye, we kind of got this.
Yeah, but it was like a swamp.
Right, right.
Not like a red.
So then the Y-Wing lands also, and there's now like a monster in the red shit that looks like a serpent or something.
It's a dragon thing.
Yeah, and Luke tries to shoot it. Nothing happens, and it just like starts to eat the Y-Wing, and they're like, oh, fuck. And then they're saved by a man on a like tamed beast that looks...
Yo, it's Boba, dude.
Yeah, and it's Boba, and he fires. He has his like gun that Din Djarin eventually has, the same one in Mandalorian, and he like stuns the thing, and it like runs back into the ocean, and he knows what they're talking about. He's like, I know what the ship is. They're like, thank you for saving us. They don't know who Boba Fett is. We don't know who Boba Fett is. So as far as we're concerned, he's just this sick guy that shows up and saves them. Fett and Luke are both like, yo, the Empire fucking sucks, right? Hell yeah, brother. Daps. And then
he won't betray them at all.
Boba Fett's like, follow me. And 3PO doesn't trust him, but 3PO nobody ever listens to 3PO because he's crazy. And they go into the ship, and Luke sees that Chewie has the talisman. And when Chewie sees Luke, he like freaks out and tries to like get rid of it.
Boba Fett is evil. Get out of here.
Yeah, and Luke passes out, and then Fett like shoots like a bolo around Chewbacca that ties him up. And he's like, what the hell did he do to Luke? Like, what did that thing do to Luke? And 3PO says that R2 figured out using his sensors, I guess, or that he saw with his eyes. I don't know. He sees that the talisman has a sleeping virus that comes off of it that only affects humans. And the only way to keep them alive is to hang them upside down so that the blood stays in their head. So I guess we got tricked. That's why Han Solo is tied up. It wasn't because Chewbacca lost his mind. It was just because of this weird virus. And Boba Fett knows how to get the cure, but they have to all go to the city together. But Fett's like, just don't get in my way. And Chewie's like, no, I'm going to fuck you up. And so...
Really quickly.
Yeah.
Just back to Davis's point earlier about what is this in the world? I forgot that Chewie played such a big role in this. His son is watching a cartoon of his father dealing with a guy tying him up. That's insane.
It's like,
when you think about it, that's insane.
What is the lesson there?
Dude, that's like what it must be like to be Ant-Man's daughter from Ant-Man Quantumania.
You can't. What sucks about this is no one can see Alex's like shifty eyes. Like, y'all know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, no one knows what you mean.
Dude. With your eyes closed and your mouth like that, you look like the Sandman villain with like the mouth eyes.
The Corinthian?
Yeah. You like your face, your mouth made the exact same shape as your fucking eyes. It was
I
want to
eat somebody's eyeballs with my mouth eyeballs.
You got them very Brock thin.
I like that. So then they're like leaving, and then the narrator's like, Fett finds the vendor that sells the cure, and then it's like, but what's his motive? And then you find like Boba Fett like pulls out his iPhone and he's like, yo, Darth Vader, everything's going according to plan. Except he's not from New Zealand. He's just some.
I talked like this.
Yeah, yes. Because like watch Empire Strikes Back. He's not New Zealand either.
Although if you watch it now, did they redub it?
Yeah, redub everybody.
Of course they did.
He wasn't, and he's tight.
I don't actually mind Temuera Morrison as Boba Fett. I think he's kind of cool. Like, even in the Book of Boba Fett, which is like a bonkers show, like, Temuera Morrison, like, just isn't given anything to do. He's like an old, nice man. Like, I don't know. Like,
you know what? They should have just let him be Rex and call it a life.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's such a better like Rex.
He's an actor that turns in better performances than the scripts he's given
all the time.
Like
Aquaman
all the time.
Yeah, like it's wild that he's even in Aquaman, but he is, and he's in it a lot. Anyway,
that's right. He's the dad.
Yeah. It's one of the weird things that like Boba Fett used to be like a 55-year-old man, like a 55-year-old man from like
three bags of
Calabasas.
If you haven't seen the picture of him without his mask on, either just don't to keep the
Jeremy Bullock
alive. Or, you know, one that, like the guy that was like wearing the suit in Return of the Jedi, and it's just like,
oh, yeah.
You're like a computer science teacher.
From, like, dude, I saw him at a convention one time, and he was like so old that I was like, oh, man. Like, I think he actually has passed away since then, but he was just so dusty frail that I just was even afraid to like cough near him. And this was like before pandemic. I just didn't want to like shatter his bones with a shockwave.
Yeah. He climbed out of the Sarlacc pit.
That's true. He, you know, he never was quite the same after that.
He got confused. He went back, even though
Then we like check out of the short for a minute because he's watching it and he's getting freaked out about the fact that he now know as an audience member has the knowledge that Boba Fett is working with Vader, who is real. And his dad is like in the computer.
That's what
show.
I'm saying. Like, now
is happening?
Now I'm on Davis' side. It's insane.
It's insane. But I'm just saying,
I don't need anything to make sense. Like, I just want to know if, again,
I don't think that, like, no, anybody
up to this point, everything loosely is real.
Like, what does Lumpy think is happening? Does he think this is a real, it's actually happening? Or?
I don't know, but when he makes the sound, a stormtrooper's like, or not a stormtrooper, but like an Imperial comes up and he's like, what was that? And he literally like changes the channel to like pretend to not be watching. So whatever it is, it's like illicit.
That's what I'm like, is it like, isn't that what they used to do in like wartime?
Is it like Bugs Bunny cartoons?
I just more thought like literally enemy at the gates, Vasily Zaitsev.
I get it.
Wasn't that like a real person where they like,
yeah, like Sergeant
York.
He was like a
sharpshooter. So they like made like sort of folk legend about him. Is this like pirate folk legends about real?
I get what you're
rebel
saying.
Heroes.
I don't want to like give them that respect. Like they thought. I just don't want to.
I didn't know if you in your. I was just asking if like what we thought, or if you had in your research like seen like this is what this was supposed to be.
No. It's definitely like a half baked idea that they kind of tried to wrap in.
No. It sucks.
Yeah, they tried to wrap it in some kind of.
I think like next to Jefferson, the animated bit was like. I didn't hate the bit.
No, it's good. It's not. It's like a tight cartoon. It's like a nice. It really has like the flavor of some of the very, very proto.
No one looks like how they look, though.
No,
they all look.
It has like a. It has like Luke has like a meaty ass neck, and he looks like he's high all the time. It's fucking
wild. They
like
didn't have the right. They had like live show makeup, not movie makeup, and they had not even.
I'm talking about in the cartoon. They just look. They look.
Oh, you're talking about.
Yeah, they look bizarre.
They do. Yeah.
But so, yeah, so he does that. And then like the Imperial guy leaves. So he like goes back to the cartoon. Now 3PO scans Han and Luke, who are both affected by the virus now. And they're both hanging upside down. And he sees that their metabolism is slowing down, which is not good. And then they try to check on Fett and Chewie. And they find out and they see now Boba Fett. Well, that he's working with Vader. And he says, I see why they call you the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. And so now Boba Fett's like, yo, guess what? I have the serum. We got to get out of here. And
that's old shitty writing. We're like, just like,
I know
where you just say a person's
this exposition like, moment. Yeah. And,
that's not Star Wars. Literally where, what was it where we were just like talking about another episode about like Mark Hamill being like, how come no one says out loud? That's Darth Vader, though, whatever. This is someone idiot was like, you should say that No wonder you're the best.
Yeah, no one's going to know who this guy is.
Why the fuck would Vader, can you like imagine like James Earl Jones just being like, getting his like, oh, okay.
You should see the comics.
That's why you're the best bounty hunter. That's my favorite shop on the Death Star.
You should see the
Chief, do I have to do these?
Darth Vader, yeah. And this is my favorite bounty hunter in the galaxy.
The Marvel like comics version of the Star Wars movie that we're going to do like next time is like very much like they it's like taken from the screenplay, but because it's not like action, it's like pictures. They sometimes have to like say out loud what they're doing, or like, oh my God, he's cutting them in half, and like stuff like, oh my God, he just cut off both of those arms, that guy's arms, like stuff like that. And it's just very, very enjoyable. Anyway, Boba Fett and Chewie are on a, like a speeder, and some stormtroopers are chasing them on a speeder. And Boba Fett's like trying to pretend like he's shooting at the stormtroopers, but he's like missing them on purpose. And then Chewie's like, what the fuck are you doing? Let's do this right. And he takes Boba Fett's gun and blows the dudes away. And then, Han and Luke are brought back to life, and 3PO tells them that Boba Fett's a bad guy, and he just has his jetpack, and he says, we'll meet again, suckers. He doesn't say suckers. He just says, we'll meet again.
He meant it, though.
We'll meet again, sluts.
And then
he gets out.
You fucking Wookiee sluts.
And then, see ya, bitches!
And then Chewie says he knew that Boba Fett was bad all along because he smelled like he was bad. And then the cartoon's over.
Is it like a morality tale for Lumpy?
They're like, trust your nose.
Yeah,
like,
trust your nose, Lumpy.
Yeah. Do you think Chewbacca commissioned that? And also
shower, Lumpy.
Yeah.
You think he like commissioned that from a local animator?
I think so. Do you think Art Carney made that for him?
Yeah, son Dan. Yeah, I'll do that for you right away, Chewie. So now we're back.
Dude, he would be the guy that would like, just after years of knowing him, like call him the wrong nickname.
Yeah. Chewie.
All right, Chewie.
So Lumpy's now happy.
Me and the Star Trek are here to help you kick some ass.
The
I've got room for this little space bitch.
Space bitch.
You guys got to watch that sketch by the Birthday Boys. It's called Star Wars. It's very good.
We should like do an episode about that. Just like it's one episode at some point. That deserves that's
all the recognition. It's
that'll be the last. Interpersonal joke for us for like 7 years.
That'll be the last episode of the show.
Like we quote it every time we hang out.
Every time.
So Lumpy's now fine because his dad like lived or whatever in the cartoon. And the Imperial officer is like,
you know, the real thing, just as a fun, because I again have like young nieces and nephews now. Like they get, you know, like sometimes you watch scary movies and you're like, oh, it's scary. But like when you're watching like a movie where a bad guy is like doing a bad thing, you're just like, it's fake. But like kids get like, they'll like hyperventilate. They'll be like, and you're like, oh, it's not. Oh, you don't like, no, it's not real. I guess like, you're
like, just like imagining like that it's real. Yeah.
So like Lumpy being like fucked up by it. Also it being like his dad,
but he might be like,
that's
also,
what's so crazy. It's like, his dad,
but he like might be weird. Like 175 years old.
And he's like, but also probably still dealing with his like, grandpa and the sex thing too.
But
like,
also his dad's still missing and may not come home. Like
it's a tour de force
for Lumpy. He's having a rough time.
This is like not his best life day.
So no. So the Imperials have like fucked up his room and they're like, oh, kid, clean your room. Because he like messed it up searching for the rebels or whatever.
But, yeah, Lumpy has the ability to create.
Because he's like a Bantha toy. What's the thing that like sets them off that gets him to start?
It's a Bantha toy. He rips the head off the Bantha toy, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is that what like gets the stormtrooper pissed?
Not
the stormtrooper. Is just an agent or whatever? But
I don't know. This is the part where he watches the like weird instructional video, where the instruction guy
it's like an early starts, version of like unboxing.
It's literally like so. Like it's so boring. Old. It's so old of a thing that like very much like the arms situation with Harvey Korman. It's very much the same thing.
It's Harvey Korman again, yeah, too.
It's just...
I think.
It might be. I don't remember. But it's literally like the bit is just like, wouldn't it be crazy if a robot was a host and he like kept glitching?
It's like he's watching a video tutorial about how to set up his Acme whatever device, but he doesn't even like actually explain. And he's like, yeah, they're like playing with like early editing techniques.
Yeah,
it's just like...
Not good.
Weird.
Yeah. I honestly think it's from this point on that it's just downhill.
We're already apart. Kind of in the poo-poo town over here. Like the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
The cartoon should have been the last thing. But it's not.
Yeah, they should have showed up, saved them from the stormtrooper guys, the end.
Yeah, like
instead it's like
if it ended there, it really would have been like
another 45 minutes.
It's like not good. It's weird, but like, oh, it just
yeah. So then after he watches this like instructional video that just goes nowhere, then they are like, all right, let's all watch a video together again. And this one's like a encyclopedia piece on Tatooine.
It's crazy. It straight up is just like the Imperial Broadcast Network or whatever it is. It is the like the Emperor wants people to watch this they're slice of life like, show of Tatooine.
They're literally like, you should see this shitty ass place so that you feel great about where you live.
It's crazy.
That's literally what they say.
Yeah, it is weird because it is like an Imperial propaganda thing, but it's like not nice to it.
No.
It's like it's just like another yeah, like I don't think this is like a fully baked.
No,
thought. No. And so there's a cantina and B. Arthur is the fucking like head of the cantina and
in spirit. Fun. It's in execution. Insane and both boring.
It feels like I don't know why like Fiddler on the Roof, but it feels like it has that.
It energy. Has like a
it's like yeah. a musical thing.
It feels, you know, it's not like that it feels specifically like Fiddler on the Roof, but it feels like a sort of old Broadway show.
Yes.
Like review, like a Broadway review, like from a high school where like there's like a thing that's set in this cantina and then they do like three numbers.
It's like the song that they do before intermission or something. Like it's like a wind down. It's just a weird.
It's a song about saying goodbye. That is 20 minutes long.
There's this crazy. First, there's this guy who like
closing time. When that came out in the 90s, really just changed the landscape. After that, this song is too slow.
There's a guy whose bit is that he like drinks by pouring the drink into a hole in his head.
Yeah.
And then he like climbs behind.
Also, what's his fucking face again?
Harvey Korman.
He climbs behind the bar to like hug her.
He loves her.
Yeah. And so she pours a full pitcher of beer into his head and he's like going crazy and he can't remember what she said to him that made him fall in love with her.
During this scene, a lot of aliens, a lot of cool looking stuff.
And this is the scene that was shot by the original director.
Well, yeah. But like some of it is stuff from that. And then there's some other stuff there where you're like, oh, you're not from.
But some of those aliens are things they use later in comics.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see sort of the beta version of aliens we see later.
You'll see that it's just they like, really are reaching for a while there at the beginning for Star Wars aliens.
But it kind of like. This is a great scene because it's so much of Star Wars. You're like, this is the difference between a movie and the guy that knows what he's making and somebody else's. Is it's like, he had all these crazy aliens, but they didn't pour fucking beer in their head and act weird. They like drank normally and he let that they were just like weird looking be it, but played it otherwise straight. He didn't have to be like, yeah. Like,
yeah, but it's weird because we're watching ostensibly like propaganda.
Was there a giant?
Well, we're
stuffed something. What was
that?
Oh,
yeah. Of course there was. That big white guy was there, I think.
Yeah. We're ostensibly watching Empire propaganda, but the plot is that this guy is in love with the bartender, but he can't remember the thing that she said to him.
I don't know how this is propaganda, by the way.
Yeah,
I can't
exactly.
figure it out.
And then he remembers, he realizes that the six words that she said to him are, come back soon, I'll be waiting, which is what she says to everyone at the end.
And then she sings a song.
So first she says that and he's like, oh my God, did I just fall in love with like the like greeting that she says to everyone?
With the like hags?
Yeah. And then have a great summer. And then and then inside the transmission, there's a transmission that now the bars on Tatooine have a curfew. So you have to leave. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And she tries to get everybody out of the bar, but nobody leaves. So she gives everyone one more round and then she sings a song about getting the fuck out of the bar. And
it is legit 20 minutes
long.
It
takes so fucking long. And then, at the end, she's like, oh, but everybody's gone. And then at the end, like the button on the whole thing is that the weird hole in his head guy, like, is still there and he has a flower. And you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? Why would the Emperor want me to watch this as an Imperial officer? What the fuck is going on?
That's a psyop, man. That's some kind of like...
Dude, Sheev is just like, it's so bad.
He's writing poetry about it right now.
I love the idea that he's like, it's terrible. Give it to him.
So,
dude, this is fucking... You know what? It kind of works, though. Given, like, Leia's talk in Spoon of the Mind's Eye about how she's like, You know how she? I became like a fucking rebel art. I was bored. Like, there is a, you could be like, if this is the kind of shit they were putting out, no wonder she's like,
I guess you're right.
Dude,
yeah.
Fuck this.
I would be a rebel.
I'm just saying headcanon,
tomorrow,
which by the way is not even not canon. Like,
yeah.
This is to this point what the Imperial sanctioned art is. And she's like, I was bored of my fucking gourd.
My,
don't
my
worry.
Headcanon is that I drink my beer.
She's like, I tried to like set up a, like a Acme like thing. Do you watch their instructional videos? It make no sense at all.
Don't worry, Leia will teach now. Us about real song here in a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Finally, after watching that weird video about Tatooine, they get a call that they can leave, and they're about to leave, and everybody's gone except they leave one guy behind to make sure that the head of the household isn't the rebel that they're looking for. So they're like, well,
so leave one stormtrooper,
which is just like so sexist because Mala clearly runs that household.
Yeah. More importantly, Wookiees, known, it is established in the first movie, Wookiees kick ass. They left one guy there to die.
Yeah. But he doesn't die. What happens is he hears that it was Lumpy with his like weird radio, who was the one who sent the message to return to base for all the troopers. So he goes upstairs and he chases Lumpy out the door just as Han and Chewie finally like,
hey,
pop in with their guns out, like, hey, what do we miss? And Han gets the drop on the dude, bops him out, like throws him off the fucking tree.
Yeah, he's dead. That
to his
died.
Death. Like, I don't know what the fuck, but he doesn't. Nobody cares that happened. And they're just like, hey. And
good thing nobody like called back ever.
I didn't know that Han wasn't staying, which is very funny. Like, it's hilarious that Han's just there to drop Chewie off. Like, he's not going to spend Christmas with him.
Han's not. That makes sense to me. Han doesn't holiday.
It's just like you'd think that like they're his only friend in the entire world.
He's there for his friend. He got him home and now he's going to go drink.
It's like such a little sweet boy, Chewie the whole time.
Yeah.
I do love the idea that Han and Chewie are like best buds, but like he's the problematic. You ever have like, you know, like a friend who has like a girlfriend and like she does not get along with other like. They're like two separate worlds.
Yeah, 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 no, I definitely have.
Or like the people who are like, once you have kids, that friend that's like, oh, let me know when you're like off the clock.
Sure.
It's like, there's something to that with Han where he's like, I don't really like do this.
I mean, it's not his
life. I understand Han. It's not his life. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I love it. I understand that I have like joint custody of you with your family.
So now Chewbacca's-
by joint, I get you 99% of the time.
So now Chewbacca's home, Han's gone. And there's a knock at the door and they're like, who the fuck is this? And they have their guns out. And then it's Art Carney, Sanden.
Hey.
And he's like, wow, you guys know how to make a guy feel welcome. Hey. And then a call comes in and they're like, where is this guy? He was supposed to report back. What happened? And Sanden's like, well, you left him here and he tried to stick us up and he just like robbed us blind and ran away. He's a deserter. Sorry to say. And they're like, oh, man.
I can't believe it worked.
Damn.
You just think it on his feet. And he's like, hey, guys, happy life day. I love you guys. And this day's for you guys. And he heads out. And he's just like the fucking fur, like the fur rug salesman. And then they all go grab orbs filled with light and raise their light orbs together. I might be related to the orb that Boss Nass raises over his head eventually. Star Wars Episode One. I don't know if they're connected. I don't know.
And then we get a Star Wars song.
We just first they transmogrify while they're holding the orbs into like red. They have like red like shawls on now. They have like red like cloaks on.
And then they're
like floating in space with other Wookiees like towards like a bright light source. I don't know how literal it is.
Like, listen, Wookiees like do drugs on the that day and like. Just you guys have your own thing.
We don't really know what this is.
And then for some reason,
Princess Leia.
Well, no. First of all, everyone's there again now. Like,
oh,
now,
yeah, they all got together.
Like, apparently Han had to like go get dressed. I don't know what, like, why he left Chewie on Kashyyyk, but
he just doesn't like being around the family.
Maybe
it'd
be so great if he had actually like came back and he's like, I filled a Millennium Falcon with like Life Day gifts for the orphans of Kashyyyk.
Maybe they just,
and they were like, oh,
it's
like,
maybe they just trip out in that fucking VR machine for like 3 hours.
Do you think the last bit of this is just VR machine?
I'd like to hope it was.
Itchy and Han just like taking turns.
Taking turns. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to elaborate at all.
Look, it's Han Solo doesn't have a girlfriend at this point in time. Yeah. So he's open to it.
So Leia's like, you're all wonderful people in my life, and everybody should have a day of joy and peace, free of evil, she says. And then she starts singing.
I just love that she pulls like a Gwyneth Paltrow and just like takes over their holiday. Tells them what the message of their fucking holiday is and sings their song.
Well, she's the only one who can fucking speak English. So.
But it's crazy because they just take a normal Star Wars song and give lyrics to it.
I forgot. What is it? There's like a term for that, but yeah.
It's crazy. It's
absolutely.
Life day.
It's like basically that. And then Chewbacca like sees clips from the movie.
Didn't they do that to the Cantina song? Didn't it have some of the Cantina song, but like in a different BPM or something? Like a different.
It's like a different arrangement completely. Yeah. So Chewbacca sees scenes from the movie and then it like fades back and so they're like
memories.
I don't know, but they like fade back. Cause here's the thing. It like fades back and they're like back at home. They're like that may not have happened. I don't know.
Like with a joint.
They're like at the dinner table now again, having their bantha loins together, holding hands. And then they're like, yeah, and then that's it. And
yeah, Lumpy's like, God bless us, everyone.
And I don't know what the message was. And I felt tired by the end.
Yeah, the ending, the last 35 minutes are just the worst. 35 minutes sucks so bad.
It's just,
yeah,
it's just so funny. I have a quote from Gary Kurtz from Lucasfilm from the Wikipedia. He says,
we fucked up.
He says, it did start out to be a lot better with a different script. We had half a dozen meetings with the TV company that was making it. And in the end, because of work on promoting Star Wars and working on the next film, we realized we had no time. So we just left it to them, just had the occasional meeting with them, provided them with access to the props and the actors. And that was it. So just to give you an idea of where Star Wars was at, just to touch again on our like holy mission to watch and experience everything in order and sort of track the growth of Star Wars. This truly was just like a completely phoned in money grab.
Oh, absolutely.
That
like they were between making Star Wars the movie and then making Star Wars the like industrial entertainment complex. So I get that they were like, fuck it. Who cares? It's TV. Like, yeah, go. Sure. Here's our book. Make something. Doesn't matter to us.
What's crazy is the next mass media thing for Star Wars is quite possibly one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
And it's like a year and a half or something later, right? Like it's like what the big guns were working on the whole time. I mean, we still have some stuff in between before we get to The Empire Strikes Back, the granddaddy of all.
But I totally get
Star Wars.
Knowing that that's what was happening, because I didn't know they were like, we're all busy. We're all fine here now.
Just we all have like in Star Wars to work on. So,
but like, have you ever been bothered with like, you're trying to like work on something and someone's like, hey, can you handle this? And you're like, I can't, this is nothing to me. Like a TV holiday special that will air one time and then never again. We just made the biggest movie ever. We're trying to make the next biggest movie ever. Right. I don't fucking care. Jefferson Starship, Jefferson Airplane.
So
I don't care.
So this is the part where no creative like energy is spent, right? Like this is like one way that Star Wars still goes today. Like there's still the Star Wars holiday special happening all the time with a Star Wars license all across everything. But the next place that we're headed is like the first baby steps into more story. Like Splinter of the Mind's Eye was kind of that because it was like a backup alternate story, right? But that's not the same as building out the Star Wars universe. Like this was like an alternate story. I'm still not sure if the canon on Splinter of the Mind's Eye is like germane even to the rest of Legends canon. I don't know. But next time, you know, we're going to go to the Star Wars Marvel comics. And first we're going to get the movie again. Just one more time on the movie because, you know, I think it's just, it makes sense to give the original story to the fans who are maybe hearing it for the first time.
It's a new medium, so they're like, fuck it.
It's a surefire hit, and people aren't like so starved for content all the time that that's like not a good idea. So
also, like, the book and the movie were like distinct companion pieces that really just were better. Like, it was more exciting to read them both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So next we're going to start seeing actual writers and creative teams and artists start taking swings at building out the world of Star Wars next. Star Wars Marvel Comics Epic Collection number one is the next thing. You know, so get that reading. Then after that, we have two books, which Jesse was talking about not having read. They're still from the 70s. Han Solo at Star's End and Han Solo's Revenge.
I'm so excited.
Like, they're like novellas. They're quickies. Yeah. And they're really cool. And then we take a brief detour to experience the novelization and movie of Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back. And then we're right back into the crazy town expanded universe. So
we have like, I mean, there's so far, there's literally like nothing that I'm not excited for. Those like, Spoon of the Mind's Eye, I was like excited by the thought of it. And then what it was
paid off
even
so
different.
Good, yeah.
And it like, again, if that's what the movie was, we would have no Star Wars, or it wouldn't be what it is today.
Right.
But like, it doesn't matter because it was kind of fun. And like, Han Solo, what it like, who wrote those? What are the, like, fuck.
It's crazy because it's like Star Wars jumped the shark like right out of the gate and then yeah. like was excellent afterwards. Forever.
Well, they had to establish
a fish.
Oof. They had to establish ground rules. Like Lucas came in and he said, okay, y'all are going crazy. You're writing stuff. Here's the deal. Do not write anything 40 years before or 40 years after. That's my territory. You can write anything in between. And you can write anything any other time, but don't do 40 before, don't do 40 after.
Because that's what, because by what, Empire, then it was like, this is episode 5, right? Like that's
yes,
when it was
they
like,
had a structure in there.
He was like, all right, that the prequels and the sequels were like.
I actually don't know exactly when that talk started happening.
Oh, but he early on had that in his mind that he wanted to make like 9 stories.
Oh, but I mean,
when Empire Strikes Back came out in theaters, it was episode 5, right?
I don't know. I will find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't actually know. Because when was the last time that I watched the original theatrical cut of The Empire Strikes Back? Even longer by a long shot than when I watched Star Wars.
But this is like what we're talking about with like, there's so many, depending on what quote of Lucas you take, he had it all planned out or none, or
dude,
he was gonna
look
do
at
like
the fucking intro to the goddamn Star Wars book. It's all there. Like he had the plot.
Yeah.
You're
Palpatine,
right, like,
all of it. Yeah.
Like he had the background of
I know
the
about his I even know about his plans for the sequel trilogy somehow. I don't know how I know, but I know about like the brother and sister character and the like Indiana Jones-esque story. I know about that. I don't know where I got that from, but I don't know how far back it all goes.
He had this idea, and that's why there's this time period, especially in the 90s, where you get the Thrawn trilogy, but also you get shit that's like 80,000 years before, or like the first Jedi. And that's when stuff gets wild and fun and that, super cool.
I have like known about the lightsabers that are like jetpack from like just being involved in it. But I've never read the thing that had that. And
they're
I'm very
so cool. So
like
cool.
excited to do that.
We're either, less than 10 episodes away from the movies being done.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? Like we're going to be like in a big dry thing for movies until the prequels. Once we're done with Return of the Jedi,
it's all books. It's all the creative work or the many,
the two Ewok movies get fucked.
Those aren't movies.
Boy, I forgot about those.
They're telenovelas?
They're television specials.
Are we going to end up doing droids,
too? Are those
too?
Television specials?
We're doing droids. We're doing Ewoks, which are both cartoon television shows. We're going to watch them all. We're going to do watch-alongs for all of it.
We're
going to
do Ewoks with the blonde hair?
We're going to do it all, baby. We got there's Ewoks and droids comics, too.
Watch-alongs.
What's up?
I don't know. It's just us going to do Patreon.
Okay. Oh. Oh. Well, okay, finish it. Okay, speaking of watch-alongs.
That's the thing you can get on Patreon. Also, what? this is my first Patreon. I don't know how to kick to it. I apologize.
Check it out.
You don't have to. Everything's free.
Check it out. Support us on patreon.com/swocbc. Let's let the droid handle it. We'll take it. Get us out of here, Jesse. Help me out. How do we get out?
We'll see y'all next time in another galaxy.
Another time. And your droids closer.
On Patreon.
Find your droids on Patreon.
We'll see you guys there.
Bye.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions from our listeners at patreon.com/SWOCBC, where again, this week, we've just released the accompanying audio watch-along for this holiday special featuring Alex, Jesse, and Davis. This month's Patreon Masters of the Force are Benjamin Hicks, Amy W., T. Boneses, Paul Walker, Parker Lang, Hourly Sword, Jazz Owl, Colin Garmeyer, Evan Alexander Guillen, Peacetime Mando, Metroid Mike, and Matthew Mavroides. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a discussion about our next selection, Star Wars, The Original Marvel Years, Volume 1 by Marvel Comics. This episode was edited by Alex Del Campo and Alex Fasciani. The theme song is Venus, The Bringer of Peace by Gustav Holst, performed by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. Original show art by Jackie Whistler. See you next time.